The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, Scott Stapp, Grammy Award-winning lead vocalist of the rock band Creed.
The whole world knew that I had some serious issues before I could even see it.
Scott exposes his troubled past and battles with addiction that ultimately led to the rediscovery of his faith.
You know, and looking back, you know, God was always there. And then he sent this angel into my life to help me relearn love.
Sinner's Creed, next.
Welcome to Life Today. I'm James, and this is Betty, and we've got Scott Stapp, Creed's lead singer. I love this title, Sinner's Creed. Now I've shared it all, perhaps I've shared too much, but in this you must believe. The only truth I've left is this, my sinner's creed. That's on the back. Incredible story. Scott and his wife Jacqueline came by our home today, and Scott told me he'd been listening to me preach since he was about 8 to 10 years old. And we really did have an incredible family reunion together. Met Jacqueline. Would you welcome Scott and Jacqueline Stapp? Glad to see y'all. How's the journey now, Scott? How's the journey right now with the Lord?
It's blessed every day in some ways, in most ways. You know, God's revealing, you know, where he's leading us and what he wants us to do. And he's just blessed us so much in different ways than we could ever imagine.
Are you watching progress in this guy's life all the time, just being around him?
Absolutely. Every day it's always exciting. It's never a dull moment in our home, but I'm proud of him. We're so proud of him.
Well, he's come out of a lot, you know. He's been a lot. When you've got visibility like he has, and the fame and the fortune that comes with selling millions and millions of albums, what you're exposed to. And, you know, you were watching me preach, so, I mean, I'm trying to help you all the way through this journey. And you got exposed to a lot of stuff that I guess I wasn't able to quite lift you above it. It kind of got on you a little bit, because I know I was trying. I was giving it my all.
Yes.
But tell our viewers, because you cut to the chase in the book, but, I mean, you were hurt, and yet you were around a lot of religious stuff, and you were around a lot of religious extremes. I got to be honest with you. What you share in the book, what you've even told me and Betty just in our time together, you were exposed to the kind of things that would make most people say, I have nothing to do with God.
Most definitely.
I certainly have nothing to do with religion or church. Tell our viewers some of the things you went through.
Yes, I mean, it started at home. My father was abusive on many levels, and spiritually, physically. You know, he was God in the household and introduced me to a God of fear, a God that required perfection. You know, I told you earlier, there are many times I reached out to the TV while you were on to ask for salvation again and again and again, because you know, that was how my relationship with God and Christ was instilled in me, that I could lose it like that. And anytime I sinned, I better get on my knees, because if I got hit by a car or something happened, I'd be in hell. And that was a tough place to live as a young person, because my thoughts were on such heavy things. And what accompanied some of this punishment and ritual punishment, you know, when I remember one time, you know, I was locked in my room for a month, fed under the door. And one thing my dad did do is he had me write Proverbs and Psalms and other books in the Bible, and then write a commentary on what they meant to me. And so I'd sit in there and do that. And he'd come in every Monday night for that month and, you know, I know what you've been thinking. I'm God in the household, a priest and prophet, and, you know, I'm going to spank you every Monday night. And these weren't your typical spankings. I don't even get into too much detail. But the pants and shirts were off and, you know, head to toe. And you know, it just put that fear in me. And even though as a boy, I would read scriptures and hear things from those that love God, you know, God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but a power, love, and a sound mind. That would get me to sleep at night, saying that over and over again. Mm. But in my walk with Christ, it really separated me from ever fully understanding the love of God.
Oh, it's like somebody's cutting my heart out to hear you say this, to think that God's like that, because that's the last thing. He's trying to prevent us from being hurt.
Yes, sir.
In the name of God, you were exposed to something that was as anti-God as it could get in the name of religion.
Well, as a boy, you know, I looked at him as God, so to speak, as a 9 and 10-year-old. You know, he was the father I always wanted. You know, my father left when I was, my biological father, when I was 5. And, you know, so I desperately wanted a father. And when he came in, he was everything I could dream of. You know, 6'4", 230 pounds, you know, an athlete, loved the same college football team and pro team I did, and showed so much interest in me. And I was just in love, and I talk about that in my book. And so I equated that with God. And, you know, perfectionism. And eventually, as I talk about, I just felt, you know, God, I can't do this. I can't, I'm sorry, I'm just not good enough. And, you know, that was backed up by things my father would say to me. And so that led to me just giving up. And
did that lead you toward the addictions and abuses?
Well, not in the beginning. It led me to exactly what my father said was the antithesis of God and an instrument of the devil, and that's an electric guitar. And just prior to that, I went to a Christian college for a year. That was a deal my father made with me. I had to go there for at least a year, and I had a similar experience I made a mistake, and with the dean's son, and I confessed, and again was shown, you know, get out of here, and so that just put the last nail in the coffin that, you know, I'm just, you know, I was made wrong. There's something must be wrong with me, and I can't do it. But then on the other hand, you know, periodically my grandfather was teaching me about a God of love, and a God that spoke to me and the world around me and through nature. And as I went on this journey, I couldn't escape God. And even though that word was put inside of me in a way that was damaging at the time, it never came back void. And so that conversation continued. And as we talked earlier, you know, I went into the darkness, and I made rationalizations about it. You know, I felt a call on my life, and you know, I'd tell God, well, how am I supposed to ever really minister to people and then think I'm credible if I don't have experience doing, you know.
I'm going to go experience what the world offers.
Right.
No way I'm more credible.
Right.
You bought the lie.
I bought the lie.
What made the turnaround?
A series of unfortunate events. Not to mimic the movie, but, you know, I had to hit my bottom. And for me, the whole world knew that I had some serious issues before I could even see it. You know, I talk about an onion. You know, I had a lot of layers around me that I allowed to be put around my mind and heart, and was living in serious denial, serious ego, life run on self-will. But through those times, and even though it was from my back, I cried out. And, you know, and looking back, you know, God was always there. And then he sent this angel into my life to help me relearn love.
What'd she do for you?
Oh, my goodness. It's so much. She showed me God's love and the reality of what real love is, and accepted me. Because, see, I kept all that, you know, I cleaned up for her. You know, when I met her, I was like, I can get my life together, man. So I hit the gym, and, you know, got buff, and, you know, stopped everything I was doing, and you know, and then eventually it came out. And, you know, she has faith, and she was committed to me, and she loved me, even though I was unlovable. And
when you saw the, you'd seen the potential, and you'd seen the dress-up act, mm-hmm. when you saw the weaknesses, Jacqueline, what's going on in your mind?
There were some very scary moments in the beginning. You know, I didn't know what was going on. Scott didn't really know what was going on. And I think I learned a lot even more about him after the book. But we finally just kind of accepted the situation. But one thing in our family is learning about forgiveness and compassion and just patience, you know, to really look at someone and see who their real heart is. He always wanted to do the right things, and, you know, we've had our ups and our downs and our bumps like everyone else, but we always, you know, kept the prayer in our home. Mm-hmm.
When I first saw this couple, because I meet a lot of people with my staff and guest coordination, and I want to show you how I met you first. And you won my heart, Scott, without ever, you know, being a rock guy and keeping up with everybody in any kind of contemporary or rock music, knowing you, you know, famous and all that. But I wanted to have you when I saw this, just a clip. Probably it's on YouTube and some other places. Watch this.
There was definitely several parts of the book that really, really moved me. And, you know, there's many parts that were very, very sad that just, you can't put the book down, but you also are you want to cry. To know what he endured and what he survived and the journey that he went through and just overcame. And I was just was speechless, and it really just made me look at him, you know, just differently in different ways. It's not every human can go through what he's gone through and be here today, and just he's alive, and we're so blessed to have him and the kids and I, and he's healthy, and we're very grateful, and we definitely take everything, you know, one day at a time.
Scott, just watching. Was that a beautiful clip, watching him? What got me, was you were looking at her, and I was watching your hand on her shoulder, and just watching the way you looked at her, the way I think people looked at Jesus. But you were also looking at her with the greatest admiration and appreciation and love, adoration. Mm-hmm. And it was in your face. And when a man loves a woman, when a man really loves a woman, appreciates her, it, I can't tell you what it does. And when I watch a man love his wife, want to build her up and help the wife enter into all her splendor and glory in Christ, which I could just see that in the appreciation, you won my heart. And could you see that even watching that then? Did you because you couldn't weren't able to watch it while he was sitting there. But did you know you could? Could you feel too the appreciation, love?
I can feel his love and just humbleness and his open heart, and just the connection when you know he looks into your eyes and he's just connected with you.
Well, I want to tell you this, Scott. I didn't have a father, and. I've had many fathers now that have impacted my. Billy Graham's been a father to me. I love you, Billy. I've had people who just cared about me now on my journey. And I want you to know I love you. Boy, you didn't have a father in a lot of ways you needed, and I'm going to be available to you if you need me. I've already told you I'll be there. So I'm with you. What do you think God's got for you guys? What do you feel? Did Jack, do you have any idea what's going to happen where y'all are going?
Well,
sure, he's a musician, and I think that's cool.
Well, we take everything one day at a time in our house, but we're excited about the future and just, you know, getting our lives in order with the kids and getting started in a new church home at home soon. And Dad's got some exciting things with work ahead, but we're reflecting and learning.
How do we pray for you? How do we pray for you?
Well, we're rebuilding a foundation and trying to do it as God is leading us and you know, trying to keep one foot out of the future and one foot out of the past and just move forward and just in being here. I know this is exactly, today I felt it in your home. It's exactly where the Lord wanted me to be. And those affirmations, just, they keep coming. And I just got to be patient, as you were telling me, because I want all the answers now. I want to know it all now. And, you know, so in praying for us, you know, just that God will continue to reveal himself to us and his plans for us and just guide us in the direction that he wants us to go. Help me and my wife to truly understand the love and grace of God.
If you said something, which the book is fabulous, his story is incredible. I mean, there's a tremendous amount of history in here. Hard to believe this little guy had a lot of the hurts and pains that he went through. And just the whole story and the journey there and what Creed and their fame and boy, I mean, just and then just the incredible defeat and despair that Jesus lifted him out of it. You got a camera here, will have a tally light come on in a minute on you. If you want to talk to all those people and say to kids and people in the music or whatever, or people that have been hurt by religion, kind of turned off, mm-hmm. is Jesus real enough, big enough, personal enough, and Godfather enough to get them out? Would you want to say something right to them?
Well, first thing I got to say is if Jesus can love a sinner like me, all right, and provide me that love and grace, he most definitely is there for you 1,000%. And I tell you, in seeking him, even in from a place of not understanding, I found that just Christ reveals himself. And that's why I'm here today. That's why she's in my life. And, you know, just don't give up. And when there's nothing left to do, no matter how low you are and where you are, because I've been there.
Father, I pray for all of our viewers today, wherever they are in their life journey. It may feel like hell on earth to them. They may be in a pit that somebody threw them in like they did Joseph. It may be one they stumbled in like so many do. It may be one they're in because they dug it with their actions and their misdeeds and their foolish choices. But Lord, I want them to see that you're there wanting to lift them up today. In Jesus' name, I pray with all my heart. You'll understand that the Sinner's Creed is really and truly, I mean, this is a music, a rock group, but he's got a creed relationship with Jesus Christ that's real and genuine. It's not religion, it's relationship. And he had been hurt by, quote, religious talk and actions that totally ungodly. And wherever you've been, Jesus is real. He's real, I'm telling you. It's relationship you can have with God the Father. And if you want someone to pray with you, that telephone number is there. It's paid for by love. We have a lot of people call us, just need a friend. I want to be forgiven. I want a new start in life. Somebody ready to pray with you. Would you just say thanks to God, but also would you say thanks to Scott and Jacqueline for sharing this story? God bless you. Love you.
Thank you so much.
If you want a website where you can kind of check on what's going on in their lives, there's the website you can go to and just, okay, here's where they're going to be appearing, here's what they're going to do. And you can just kind of focus your prayers and ask God to direct your steps. Scott and Jacqueline, we're giving clean water to children that never had a chance. You know, we got a lot of diseases we don't have a cure for. We got a perfect cure for contaminated water diseases, and that's to give people clean water. I want you to watch this, and I want you to join us in this incredible opportunity.
Pathways. They often represent choices. And while some in life are trivial, this one, and this one, carry the weight of great consequence. But in reality, these pathways in this village can hardly be considered choices because they all end here. which, when it comes down to it, leads here.
Oh, that breaks my heart. That's, not just a little name there. You know, it's just a name, but it's a precious little life. Dear God. Betty and I've knelt too often by those graves. A lot of times they bury children right around their little hut or their house. Walk outside their house, got little mounds. It's family.
Yeah.
They don't have to go to a cemetery with my baby. And then we go to, wouldn't call them cemeteries, we just go to burial areas where they just bury the children. It doesn't have to happen. I think in the heart of every person there's a desire to relieve pain, suffering, pressure, and there should be. If you have a perfect cure for anything, I mean, we've had West Nile outbreaks, no cure. We've had all kinds of problems taking lives. I've told you many times, Betty and I are strong, faithful supporters of St. Jude's. You know, we don't stop and say, well, it was started by somebody who was Jewish. How do you let something like that stop you, for crying out loud? If you love God and you love people, I say, praise God. They're trying to save these little children's lives. We can find so many reasons, it seems, to not do the compassionate thing. What could be more compassion than giving people? See, we up at St. Jude's try to find a cure. We've got the cure for what's killing these children. We got the answer to a mother's prayer, a child's need, to a family. Stop the death cycle. Our missionaries have found 500 key locations that need is desperate in 12 countries. And we've set up a high mark this year. Economic uncertainties, a lot of people are thinking about many times, but I'm believing God's going to correct that. I think He'll correct our nation's course if we'll seek His wisdom and guidance and the heart harmony that only He can bring. We're trusting God to let us drill 500 water wells in these 12 countries. Would you drill one of them? I'm asking all of you who watch, I'm praying that all of our donors, Betty will make it a personal goal to drill a water well in a year. We made it our goal 14 years ago. We were drilling once a year, then we started drilling twice a year. The wells were $3,600, now they're $4,800. But we asked God to let us do it. We did it the first time, the next time. And you know what? God's honored our prayer to where we've been able to do it every time. Sometimes we have drilled several. We asked God to let us start with one. We're meeting children who are drilling a well, little kids. So if they can do it, we just say, God, help us do it. But here's the thing that's really critically important. Not everyone can. You don't start there necessarily, but we start somewhere. And this is really important. $48, 10 people water for the rest of their life. You make a $48 gift toward a $4,800 well. If you could give $144, 30 people water the rest of their life. There's a level at which you can start. Some of you give $1,200 toward the 48. Say, I'll pray three people join me. God, let three people join me. Or $2,400, pray one joins you. There's some of you who'll say, you know what? I can drill a well. I can do more than that.
You know, James, as I was watching that, I thought they're walking along a path. And most of the time, that path leads to a grave. I want them to walk a path that leads to the well of life, not only for their thirsty souls, but for their bodies. I want you to help us and join us in doing that.
Well, really and truly, I've made it kind of a prayer theme that in mission outreach, I want to provide water for every thirsty person on planet Earth, clean water, so they will have water for life and they'll be anxious to hear about the water of life that gave them that love expression. Would you start today with that $48 or $144 or something toward the well or perhaps a well? We want to send you some special gifts to bless you because we love you. Thank you for helping us share water for life.
Every day, millions of children are forced to make a dreadful choice. Drink filthy, polluted water filled with deadly disease or die from thirst. No child should ever be faced with this decision. The good news is there is a solution. Mission Water for Life is one of the most exciting and viable demonstrations of God's love in the world today. Suffering can end because clean water changes everything.
With your gift today, we can establish and drill 500 new water wells for remote villages in over 12 different nations. Your gift of $24 will help provide clean water for 5 people. A gift of $48 will help provide for 10 people. $72 will impact 15 people. And $144 will help provide fresh, clean, disease-free water for 30 people for a lifetime. With your gift, be sure to request Beth Moore's Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights, a beautiful new daily devotional to begin and end your day in God's presence. With your gift of $100 or more, you may request Morning and Evening, I Will Praise You, a 2-CD collection of 20 instrumental hymns and a companion book that shares the stories behind each hymn. Also, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,200 to help provide water for 250 people, or a gift of $4,800 to help sponsor a complete well. And be sure to request the limited edition 50th anniversary bronze sculpture, Living Water, by artist Robert Summers. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online today.
You are going to want to ask for the beautiful songs of praise. Help us give 30 people water. And the hymns, this is incredible. This is how they were birthed and inspired. And the story of the writers. Mm-hmm. Blessed Mornings and Restful Nights. What a great title. I don't know anybody can help us any better than Beth. And just thanks to all of you. By the way, if you call, we've got a lot of people calling to give their life to Christ. Praise God. But you want to call to give somebody life. You want to give them water and tell them about the water of life by sharing the water for life. Get through. Call until you get through, because lives depend on it, futures depend on it. And then I want to say thanks again to Scott and to Jacqueline. Sinner's Creed. What a beautifully done book. It is absolutely awesome. Tyndale did it, and one of the great publishers. I've done, I don't know, probably 8 or 10 books with Tyndale. And, you know, they gave us the Living Bible, and Taylor was a great, great man of inspiration to all of us. Well, would you just say a big thanks to Scott and to Jacqueline? Love you. Thanks for the way you love and honor her. Thanks for the way you look at her. Bless you. Yeah. That's the way we ought to be with our beautiful wives. Build them up. Lift them up. Thank you.
Next week, Nick Vujicic, who was born without arms or legs, overcomes countless challenges and obstacles to encourage us all to be unstoppable. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.